What's the word Sabbath mean? What day does Sabbath come on?
Sunday.
On which day?
Sunday.
The Old Testament Sabbath comes on which day? Okay, sit down. 14-year-olds. Who's a 14-year-old? 15-year-olds. Who's 15? Nobody 15-year-olds? 16-year-olds. Stand up. What day does Sabbath come on in the Old Testament? Yes.
Saturday.
What does the word Sabbath mean? What does that word mean to everybody? All right, sit down. Third row on this side. What does the word Sabbath mean? Pardon?
Holy day.
Holy day. That fit, yes, but it has a more specific meaning. Third row on this side. Okay, we need to do some study, don't we? let me see. Where in the Bible do you find the word Sunday? Anyone know? Is it in the New Testament? No. How about the Old Testament? How many days of the week do you find listed in the Bible? Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, yeah, all those days. The names of the days I'm talking about. No? Tell me something. Let's see. Those whose names begin with C through M. Tell me something Jesus did on the Sabbath. Raise your hand. What did Jesus do on the Sabbath?
He healed
sick people. Okay, what else?
His disciples went into the field and picked wheat.
Yeah, Matthew 12. They got in trouble for that, didn't they? Who didn't like that?
Pharisees.
Yeah, the Pharisees. Let's see, okay. Tell me something else that Jesus did on the Sabbath. Let's see, N through W. Yeah, N through W. Your last name begins N through W. What else did Jesus do on the Sabbath? Yes. I'm sorry?
The day that he rose.
Okay. Mm-hmm. There's still something else. Luke chapter 4, where was Jesus? All right, anybody. He went to the synagogue on the Sabbath. He was faithful in Sabbath day. The synagogue services. Let me see. Let's see, second row, this side. Where do you find the Ten Commandments? Yes. Exodus 20. And second row, this side. Where else can you, what other book in the Old Testament can you find the list of the Ten Commandments? What book of the Old Testament? You want to try it then?
Deuteronomy 5.
Deuteronomy 5, exactly. Let's see. The word Sunday. The Puritans didn't like to use that word Sunday. Does anyone know why? Us. Yes, you want to tell us?
Okay.
It had to do with the worship of the sun. Saturday has to do with the worship of what?
Saturn.
Monday has to do with the worship of the moon. So the Puritans didn't like to use those words, and they had another term that they used for the day of worship, which is what? The Lord's Day. All right, so good brain exercise. by the way, 6 years ago, you know, they said that Pluto was no longer a planet. And so you pushed a dislike on that. And they said it can't be a planet any longer. So now, the planet that's farthest from the Earth is Washington, D.C. All right. Let's have a word of prayer, and I'm going to ask that we pray for our elder Ed Oliver, who's in the hospital. Had a hard time breathing and has had a fever and possible heart attack situation. So we need to pray for him. Any other prayer requests that you'd like to mention today? Anybody have a special need or know someone who has a special need?
Where is Ed?
Pardon?
Where is Ed? Is it Oliver?
Yeah, and you're in the hospitals. I'm not sure which hospital.
Out west?
No. He's here. Okay. And you've had some folks pass away in your church.
Yes.
I think we've had a great 2 days so far, another great day today. So let's keep our minds and our hearts focused on the Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for the blessings we receive at your hand. Thank you for another day. Thank you, Lord, that you've given us rest. And now, Lord, we're ready. We wait upon you to receive from your hand in our hearts, in our minds. Motivate us, Lord, to be open to what your Spirit has for us. And we would remember special needs. Certainly there must be some here who have some need that has not been spoken. We ask, Lord, that you will bless that. Thank you for the ministry of those who have already spoken. Thank you for the word that's been given to us. Now we would pray for our brother, Elder Ed Oliver. Raise him up, give him strength and healing. Guide the physicians in their diagnosis, we pray. We pray for the special need to Grace Bible Presbyterian Church and the loss of loved ones. Thank you, Lord, that these who passed away know thee as Savior and now are in glory. Father, we thank you for this day and for all that you're doing in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to make sure that you have a hymn book handy, because we're going to use the hymn book halfway through. So if you don't have, raise your hand if you can't reach a hymn book somewhere. You just want, I want you to be able to have one so everybody can be able to turn to it. Anybody who don't have a hymn book, you need it. Okay, what I want to do now, think in your minds back to 1400 years before Christ. And we're in a certain land, which I think you'll pick up on very quickly. This is called Asher and Elam. Asher, wake up. It's almost sunrise, and we have to be on the job site as soon as the sun is up, or otherwise we'll get a beating. Oh, yawn. I am so tired. 14 hours in the hot sun, and we hardly get any water or any food. I don't know how much longer I can take this. Well, you know, brother, it's not going to get any better. They have told us that we've got to make more bricks, and now they're not even going to bring the straw for us. Yeah, that's what I heard, Elam, but, you know, it's really difficult to think that you have to stand in that mud and mix the mud and the straw and then put it in the mold, and at least I get to walk around. I get to carry the mold and walk around and put it out where the sun can dry it for 30 days and make the bricks. Well, you know, they don't really care. If you can't make it, if you think you're sick, you just get a whippy and you have to be on the job anyway. You know, Father's probably already at the stone cutting site, and he's probably already been working. You know, I don't know why Pharaoh needs another pyramid. Yeah. Well, I can't figure some of these things out that are going on. You know, it's 7 days a week. It's 365 days a year. We never get any breaks. Sick, too bad. You have to be on the job. And that's the way life is. The children of Israel were able to escape from Egypt. And as they went into the desert, they saw Moses go up on top of the mountain. And they saw that there was the glory of God. And Moses came down from the mountain, and he had with him the Ten Commandments. And as he read these commandments to the people, they were amazed at what they heard. Elam, did you hear that? A rest day every week. Yeah, I can't believe it. 6 days of work, and then a full day of worship and rest. How about that? Turn to Exodus 20 with me. Let's begin at verse 1. And then we're going to go down and look at the fourth commandment. It begins at verse 8. Exodus 20 and verse 1. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Now we're down to verse 8. I want to mention something about this fourth commandment. If you've ever counted the number of words in this commandment, it comes to 94 words. You go to the sixth commandment, and thou shalt not kill. And then the next one, thou shalt not commit adultery. And the next one, thou shalt not steal. And then the next, thou shalt not bear false witness. Less than 15 words there. 94 words for one commandment. And where do you find this commandment repeated in the New Testament? Anybody? Anybody? It's not there, is it? And yet, looking at the account here in Exodus 20, it looks like this must be the most important commandment of all in some ways, because God spent so much time explaining something about this commandment. Look at verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. This is the word of the living God. A day of rest, and you want to be in your book now to page 30, where we have some blanks for you to fill in. A day of rest was an astonishing idea. The children of Israel could hardly believe it. After all the years of bondage and toil and beatings and overwork, an astonishing idea. They would have a whole day to worship God, to rest. They could hardly believe it. What a gift from God. The day of rest, the Sabbath day, is patterned after God's day of rest, isn't it? The 6 days of creation, and this is what's referred to here in this section we just read, verse 11 specifically. Now the word Sabbath means rest day, also refers to the seventh day, doesn't it? That's which we call Saturday. The people did not look, and this is important, they did not look at the Sabbath day as, oh no, an intrusion. You know, I have fun all the other days, but Sabbath day I've got to be sober and I can't laugh and all of those things. They didn't look at the Sabbath day as that, did they? They valued, they treasured that day. It was something they could hardly believe that God would say, work 6 days and then rest for a day. And so that's the joy of the Sabbath that came into people's hearts and minds. Now the Old Testament people, when it came Sabbath day, they would get themselves ready, dress in their very best, and they would drive up to this nice white building with the white columns up, and the organ would be playing, and the choir would be there, and they would hear the preacher announce the text. And is that the way worship was in the Old Testament? No, that isn't the way it was. In fact, you didn't go anywhere, really. There were those who would gather. The priests, of course, were busy in the tabernacle and then in the temple. But worship was entirely different. Worship was with families and the instruction time and the time that they would be in the Word of God. So the Sabbath, an interesting thing. To work on the Sabbath, what would happen to you if you work on the Sabbath? What about the fellow who went out and picked up sticks on the Sabbath day? He was dead, wasn't he? God said, you're not going to do that. And so in the New Testament, we find that work on the Lord's day, you don't find a real prohibition specifically aimed at that, but you do find an urging that you go to the place of worship. Assemble yourselves together. And the people that gathered on the Lord's Day. What was it said of John? I was in the Spirit on when? The Lord's Day. So I'm not going to get into why we worship on Sunday instead of Saturday, except to say that's the day of the resurrection. I think you all know that, so we don't need to go into that. But there are those who are Protestants who worship on Saturday. There are Seventh-day Baptists and there are Seventh-day Adventists and others who worship on Saturday. Now, the Sabbath day in the time of Jesus, he kept the Sabbath, didn't he? And that's another blank if you're watching. He kept the Sabbath. But Jesus was accused of violating the Sabbath. Now, I'm glad that you picked up on that. He did healing on the Sabbath. I want you to turn to John 5 with me just real quickly. And also picked grain and his disciples ate as they were traveling along. John 5. And look down to verse 8. Jesus saith unto him, Rise up, take thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed, and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. Well, what's the problem there? Jews there said, therefore, unto him that was cured, it is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. Go down to verse 18. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. In that verse, there are the two sins of Jesus, according to the religious leaders. And these were the two charges that were brought up at the trial of Jesus. So that's an important verse. Chapter 5, verse 18 of the book of John gives us the two main grudges against Jesus as they watched him do things on the Sabbath day. And you know how he answered them that. Now Jesus went to the Sabbath, and on the Sabbath day he would go to the synagogue, and remember he took the scroll, the book of Isaiah, and he read from that. And you know that story in Luke chapter 4. By the way, Jesus was accused of violating the Sabbath, and then Jesus brought joy on the Sabbath. It's the next line there. Now, we have in the Confession of Faith, what's referred to also in the Catechism, what's called the Christian Sabbath. And I'm going to read from chapter 21 of the Confession of Faith and the 8th paragraph. The Sabbath is then kept holy unto the Lord when men, after a due preparing of their hearts and ordering of their common affairs beforehand, and then it goes on to talk about the Sabbath day and the use that Christians make of that day. But I want you to think with me now, and I want some answers back on this. Think with me. It says, preparing their hearts and ordering their common affairs beforehand. What does that mean? Anyone on this side? Preparing their hearts and ordering everything beforehand. What does that refer to? Okay. Anyone? Help us here. Somebody on this side. Yes?
Getting everything ready for the Sabbath day.
I'm sorry?
Getting everything ready before the Sabbath day.
Okay. All right. If the car's out of gas, you wait till Sunday morning to go to the gas station and get some gas in the tank. Why don't do that on Saturday? If there's something can be done the day before, rather than doing it on Sunday. Preparing a meal, say you've got guests coming. What else could there be? If you gather your family together on on Saturday evening, what might you do to prepare for the Sabbath? Can you name some things you might do? Yeah? Okay, what else? Okay. You read the scriptures, you have prayer, ask God's blessing, the time of worship, and so a lot of things that can be done. So what if you, what happens now in a family where computer games going on, watching TV, 11 o'clock at night, everybody's dead tired, everybody falls into bed, and then you get up next morning. What preparation has there been in the heart? Hasn't been any, has there? So there's a time of preparation that the joy of the Sabbath might be seen. I'm going to read just a section, one question from the Shorter Catechism. How is the Sabbath to be sanctified? The Sabbath is to be sanctified by a holy resting all that day, even from such worldly employments and recreations as are lawful on other days, and spending the whole time in the public and private exercises of God's worship, except so much as is taken up in the works of necessity and mercy. I won't take the time to explain all involved there, but you see, they had a very strong idea of what was to be done on the Sabbath day. There was a day set apart, and that's important to understand. The setting apart, the sanctifying of that day. Now, what you work at and you count as important is going to determine how much you will enjoy that. And let me explain. And we're going to come to this before we finish here this morning. If you look at the Sabbath day on Sunday, the Lord's Day, and it's a day that's important to you, and that you want to benefit from that day, and you want to be an encouragement to someone else, and you want to be used of the Lord, particularly on that day in some way, then there will arise a joy. But if you look at it as, why do I have to get up so early? And you drag yourself out of bed, and then you, with a bad disposition, you go to church. And you're not going to get much out of it. There's not going to be much joy, is there? So, Alexander White, an old Scottish preacher, said this: the Sabbath day is a gleam of glory after the six other days. It is a gleam of glory. And you think of it as drawing closer to the Lord. My opportunity to push aside all those things that have been pressing in on me, and then come to that day and make it a special day before the Lord. I want you to take that hymn book that I mentioned and turn to page 231. By the way, fill in the blank there also. Psalm 92 is the psalm that we're in. The title in your Bible, perhaps, that has, as my Bible does, a psalm for the Sabbath. That's Psalm 92, and that's one of the blanks there. 231. Interesting page across on the left-hand side, if you notice. And this is the hymn, O Day of Rest and Gladness, O Day of Joy and Light, O Balm of Care and Sadness, Most Beautiful, Most Bright, on Thee, the High and Lowly, through ages joined in tune, sing holy, holy, holy to the great God Triune. That's great words there, isn't it? Wonderful hymn. Now look across the page. There's a quotation from Psalm 118. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And then the next section there, on that left-hand side, the Lord's day is a day of rest. Come, weary one, and cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. If you want to mark that page and look at it later, some great thoughts there. But you see the importance the songwriter there attaches to the Sabbath day, to this day of worship. Now, I don't generally use the word Sabbath in talking about the day of worship. I prefer to use the name the Lord's Day rather than Sabbath. The word Sabbath means rest, and in that sense, it is the Christian Sabbath, the day of rest. It also is attached to the seventh day in the Old Testament, under the law. And so there are those who say, well, there's no such thing as a Christian Sabbath. That is in Old Testament. And that's all right, if that's what some people believe. And but I just prefer to use the Lord's Day rather than talking about Sunday as a Sabbath day. Go with me to another scripture reference, Isaiah 58. Isaiah 58, and I have my official Grace Bible Presbyterian Church welcome little marker in there at Isaiah 58. Look down to verse 13. Verse 13, 14. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a what? A delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words. Then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, and the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. That's an important section of scripture there. Now, what do children do on the Sabbath day? On the Lord's Day. What do children do and what should children do? It's an interesting thing that the Lord's Day for a child, and this is even the littlest child, the old nature, listen to me carefully now, the old nature will arise and often come out in rebellion over Sabbath keeping or the rest day quicker than any other time. There's just something about a child's makeup that the idea of resting and worship and honoring the Lord on that day, that they will sneak to try to find ways to do something else. And the exposure of that old nature will be seen in the life of the child probably more quickly on how they conduct themselves on the Lord's Day than anything else. Now, again, quoting Alexander White, he said, the awakening to the presence of a child's sinfulness when we observe how easily the child finds ways to mar the Sabbath. To mar the Sabbath. How is the Lord's Day a day of joy? There are times when you don't feel well. There are times when you're tired. Yes, and we know that. But let's talk about the Lord's Day and how it can be or should be a day of joy. What are some of the things that happen at church that kind of make it more interesting from time to time? What are some things that go on at church that make it especially interesting for you? Somebody? Okay, good. Mm-hmm. All right. Somebody other than the regular preacher. I know you didn't say that, didn't you? What else? What about communion Sunday? That's a change of pace, isn't it? What about seasons? Yes, fellowship Sunday. Dinner after church, right? What about seasonal things? Christmas, New Year's, Easter time, Resurrection Sunday, Thanksgiving, things like that. What about special series of meetings? Special training session that is done on the Lord's Day. What about a special sermon that's going to talk about something that you're really interested in, that you've been thinking about this very topic? And the pastor has announced that he's going to be talking about next Lord's Day. And so you look forward to that. So a lot of things that can contribute to the variety, the joy of just being in the place of worship. Now, there's something else that I want you to think about, too, that can bring joy in the time of worship. What do you do when you go to church? Now, some of you are greeters, right? So you have a responsibility. Some of you help with Sunday school. Some are helpers in the nursery. Some have been asked to sing or play an instrument, be in the choir, perhaps read the scripture. And so there are other things that we can get involved in, and you don't need talent, a singing talent, for example, to be a greeter at the door, hand out the church bulletins. You don't need to have have studied the Bible in college to go and encourage somebody your own age that might need encouragement. You think of the Sabbath day, the day of rest, and you know people like the words vacation and retreat and school's out. Right, Susan, and we're on a retreat here. We look forward to something like this. Well, it is one day of the year on a Sunday where the malls are empty and the streets are fairly empty because everybody's gone to church, right? Now it's Super Bowl Sunday. And so nobody's in the mall. Nobody's driving around town. Everybody's watching the football game. Why can't that happen for Christians when it comes to Sunday? It comes to the time to worship, the joy of being together as Christians. This is the highlight of the week for me, to greet the church family as we assemble together and we come on that special day and what God has for us. Now, our bodies need rest. Our bodies need time away. And there are good reasons why this day should really be set apart where we honor the Lord in what we do. We, with special joy, remember that this is the resurrection day of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's something about coming together, and I'm going to close with this, for this day that when you think about the work of Jesus Christ, dying on the cross to save us from our sins, he dead and buried, and the third day he rose again from the dead. That's sort of a closing to the work of Christ on the earth, isn't it? Kind of like the closing ceremony, if you will, that Christ rose from the dead. You know, when you watch the Olympics, and then they have that closing ceremony, and how elaborate that ceremony is when you come to the end of the college year, and you have the commencement exercises, and all of the special arrangements that are done, this guest speaker, and everything that's part of that. Why don't we as Christians look at the Lord's Day is a day where I come together with other Christians to remember that the final thing that Jesus did on this earth was to rise from the dead, and then he ascended into heaven. And we make this day as a day where we cherish the work of Christ and what he's done. The final work of Christ on the earth. Let's find our joy in the Sabbath day, shall we? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the special joy that we have when we look into your word and we understand what you're saying for us. Teach us, we pray. This is going to be a learning experience if we're really going to change how we look at the Sabbath day, the Lord's Day. It may mean some very different attitude on the part of some here as to what we do on that day, setting it apart for the Lord. Help us to understand and apply this as you have it in each of our lives. Everyone will be different, perhaps. And how we understand the scripture and are led by the Spirit in what we do on the Lord's Day as it comes after each 6 days of other activity. In Jesus' name, amen.